I have a presbyter in the church, an old friend who worked many years on the nave, and he's almost, I think, 80 years old, and when I was pastor in Brazil, he usually said, Pastor, if everything goes wrong, it's because God has a huge blessing. Okay? So, in the first service, I was here, and because the windows was closed, I almost faint. I was sharing here, and I feel like it was hard to breathe. And I had to walk and try to slow down my speech, because I'm not sure if I was able to finish. Okay? So if something happened on the way in the second service, don't be scared, I just need to oxygen or something. But I'm okay. I hope. Okay. Water. So, what will be your answer if someone asks you, what is the mark of a Jesus disciple? Think about it. If you are on the street and somebody asks you, okay, what is the mark of a disciple of Jesus? What would you say? I think for me, the first answer, just automatic answer, would be, I think he would be as faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, the Savior of my life. This is my answer, very fast. This would be a logical answer. But the truth is that Jesus did not say to his disciples that they would be known as Jesus' disciples if they declared to others that they believe in Jesus. In a different way, Jesus commanded them to love one another and said, this will be the way that people will know that you are my disciples. So, John 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. I have loved you, so you must love one another. But this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I don't know if you had the experience to go in front of mirror, and you look in front of mirror and say, oh, I don't like what I see. But the truth is, it's your body, and you need love her. I remember 15, 20 years ago, I went to a doctor, nutritionist, something like that. And she talked to me and she said, Marcus, yeah, okay, you need to do this kind of diet, blah, 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 blah. You know, a lot of veggies, no meat. So a lot of veggies, fruits, the whole thing. And said, you know, because you feel like more handsome, you feel more. And I said, doctor, please, stop where you are. Stop. Because the truth is, when I look in the mirror, I'm too fine. I love myself. So don't go that way. You can say, it's good for your health, you have more strength, you will sleep well, you can live more, something like that. But don't go that way, because this doesn't work with me. Okay? So, of course, I still work on in my kilograms a lot, but the truth, what I want to say is, Jesus did not request us to love one another. Jesus commanded us as a part of Christ. And I know that sometimes happens, we come to church and some people, many times without a reason, we don't get along. Sometimes they say, you know, I don't understand. maybe he or she said one thing and you understand the other totally different, was a misunderstanding, but you never figure out what really was. And this feeling. But for that person that you are thinking right now, God, Jesus said to you, you have to love him. You have to love her. We can say that the church in Corinth, the church had all gifts. They all gifts. But they were so immature. By their inability and spiritual immaturity, these gifts, instead make the church grow, brought so many divisions. But the problem was not the gifts. The problem were them, the people. The problem is not the gift we have here. The problem us, that we not respond the way that God waits from us. So after teaching about the spiritual gifts, Paul now speaks in 1 Corinthians 13 on three aspects of love. And this is what we talk briefly today. The first thing is the superiority of love. Verse 1-3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. After treating the spiritual gifts, Paul presents love as something that's over, superior to all spiritual gifts. What characterizes the true spirituality is love, it's not the spiritual gift. This is the truth. The church in Corinth had all the gifts, but they were totally immature. Think with me right now. How can you prove that somebody is spiritually mature? How can you prove? Is by the spiritual gifts? No. It's by the fruit of the Spirit. I give an example of Jonathan here. He has the gift to, like, I think it's a gift to in the worship, to lead us. It's real, a spiritual gift. I believe on that. But if he is here jumping, smiling, and make us feel God's presence, that is part of his gift to lead us to worship. But when he is there, he do not connect with people, don't show love, don't have mercy, don't have a real deep connection. It's nothing. It's nothing. In verse 1, Paul says that love is superior for the gifts of tongues. I don't care if you are charismatic or not, if you believe in the speaking tongues or not, for me it doesn't matter. It's your view with God. But the thing is, for some church, if a person is speaking tongues, he is more spiritual than others. This is wrong. This is not teaching the Bible. The maturity of a Christian comes through, or it's proved by our relationship, by the fruit of the Spirit and the speaking tongues. The gift is not in the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift, as anyone. Serve for your edification. And I'm not here preach against speaking tongues. It's not my point here. But I'm saying that for many people, we have misused and misunderstand, like Corinth. They say, okay, if you speak in tongues, if you have the word of knowledge, you are spiritual superior for those that don't have. This is not in the Word of God. We are all equals, and we show our spiritual maturity through the fruit of Spirit, through love, through our compassion, through joy, through our relationships. This is the most important thing. In verse 2, that I don't have the paper anymore. No, this is for the last sermon. Okay. So the second point, please. Change. Oh, it's here. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thank you, Sam. In verse 2, Paul says that love is superior to the gift of prophecy, knowledge, and faith. The same way, I said, like, Phil comes and he preaches, and you love it. You said, oh, Pastor Phil knows so much about the Bible. He knows from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Apocalypse in Portuguese, sorry. So in the last word in Revelation, he knows everything. But if Pastor Phil, when he finished the service here, is not walking and talk to you, greeting you, listen to you, and his message, his knowledge, to mean nothing. It doesn't matter. Knowledge, prophecy, faith. If I have faith, move a mountain. If we not love one another, this does nothing. Without loving, even if you have the most excellent gifts, like prophecy, knowledge, and faith, we will be nothing. We need understand that. Okay, Azaf, thanks. In verse 3, Paul says that the love is superior to the gift of contribution. Without love, our contribution may be selfish, aim only to increase our prestige among God. You know, people when come and give so much money, or there is a campaign, the church, and the guy come there and give that money. If in your heart, your motivation is not love, your contribution is nothing before God, because God doesn't need your money. God needs your heart. Without love, the gift can be a spiritual gift, can be a competition, instead of be a way to create an environment of service. It's all about love. Even without love, our most extreme gesture of self-denial, like our own, like martyrdom. Somebody can say, okay, I would die for my faith, but in his heart, if it's not moved by love, this sacrifice means nothing. Because it's all about love. It's all about what has in your heart. Love gives meaning to life and direction in our journey. The one who loves lives in the light. Know God and become known about others. Known as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Finally, I find my paper here. Finally, love. Am I right? Yeah. Love is known as indestructibility. For its indestructibility. Okay? Love never ends, but prophecies will disappear. Tongues will disappear, will cease, and signs will pass. But love never ends. Love is the great virtue of the great commandment, the fulfillment of the law of God. I have a brother. He is, okay, he was about 63, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, 54. And the oldest one for the family. And unfortunately, he made so many bad choices in his life. He was married, he's divorced, And because in the beginning, because of drugs, because alcohol, he divorced, he was violent and the whole thing. And he lived with my mom almost since he was born. He's still with problems. It's a lot, it's better because it's 54, he cannot handle anymore so much alcohol that before. But he still drank. And almost every weekend, he sometimes leave Friday, arrive only Sunday. And why I'm saying that to you is my mom. I saw my mom cry so many times about him. And even she says, and I quote her, "He is my cross. He is my cross." What I'm saying that is because for many times, even when I'm leaving Brazil, I said, why you still support him? Why you still pay his debts? Why you still let him to live in your house? Why? And I, now, 20 years later, I say, I cannot judge her. Because this is love. The love all forgive. All hope, she still has hope on him. Every day. She still has hope. Because love of mother is something so powerful that we, men, we cannot understand. We cannot understand. Only you as a mother, you know what I'm talking about. Love is the great evidence of spiritual maturity. Love is the most eloquent proof of our discipleship. So if you really want to prove that we are sons and daughters of God, we need love each other. We need exercise. Because it's, we need exercise. It's not something that is natural. You just believe in Jesus Christ, and the next day, you love everybody. It's not work like that. You need exercise. You need. So the third aspect of the love is the eternity of love. Verse 9-13. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love will never end because now we know in part. We prophesy in part. But when Jesus returns, our bodies will be totally transformed. And all sin will be out. And we will know what is the love of God. We can perfectly love each other. But we can start today to exercise this gift that God gave to us. When Jesus returns, we receive an immortal, incorruptible, glorious, powerful, spiritual, heavenly body, similar to the body of His glory. Then we know, as we are also known, we know ourselves as God sees us perfectly. Perfectly. We have faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these things is love. In heaven, we'll not longer need faith, even hope. But we continue to need love. Because love is the oxygen who help in all our relationships. And we need to put this in practice in our life. God is eternal. God is love. and because that love is eternal. Love is the true mark of the Christian, of a Christian, for now and forever. Remember what John 15, 12, 13 said. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Great love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friendship, for one's friends. We as a church, we have been talking about opportunity to you serve many areas, pray, community, outreach, education, so many areas. But you know, the truth is, if you offer yourself, but you are not motivated by love, this doesn't mean anything. The first thing, the oxygen of our service to one another should be love. God commanded us to love each other. I know many times it's very difficult. I know my wife knows how it's hard to love me. Sometimes, most of the time, no. We are not perfect. Nobody here is. We are all broke vase. We are all vase of clay. And God still works on us. But because I know who I am, and because I know how God sees me, how many times God forgives me, how much God loves me and accepts me as I am, we can accept each other. Because the same love that God showed to me, showed to you. We are the same body. And the challenge today is so we can really show this love to one another. It's a challenge in a world that totally selfish. Totally selfish. But this is the will of God. God bless. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your word. Teach us, help us, challenge us to love each other. Help us to, in practical way, we can show our Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.